produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Chapter 15 is entitled The Laws of Grain and Drink Offerings. The Laws of Grain and Drink Offerings. And believe me, I know. By this time, after we went through Leviticus and all of these books, that you're kind of tired of hearing about all these offerings, okay? I truly, truly understand. But remember the premise of it, okay? Don't get caught up in every little detail about the offerings that they had to give. Understand the purpose and the meaning of the offerings and sacrifices, okay? We just went through what did we say? We just went through the crisis of unbelief, chapters 13 and 14, where the people showed unbelief. Now, anytime they're disobedient, you will see that they have to give offerings or sacrifices, okay, to get back into right standing with God, okay, to atone for their sins. So keep in mind something. We don't have to do that because it's simply that Christ Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah in Hebrew, Christ Jesus is our atonement sacrifice, okay? Atoning sacrifice. So we don't have to give all of these sacrifices every time we do something wrong. All these offerings, all these sacrifices, all these bull offerings, okay? We don't have to do that. So don't get caught up in every little single detail of it, and it slows you down and it weighs your mind down, it weighs your thinking down. Just know the reason why. They were just disobedient. They just showed unbelief. So chapter 15 is now the laws of grain and drink offering. So he's listing sacrifices, burnt sacrifices, things that we have already went over. So walk straight down the scriptures with me, okay? Chapter 15. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have come into the land, so that's the promised land. When you have come into the land in the future, you are to inhabit the land that you are to inhabit, where you are going to dwell, which I am giving to you, and you make an offering. So he's giving them information ahead of time, what he wants them to do when they get into the promised land, okay? Because they already showed unbelief. So now he's restating, because he already punished the ones that showed unbelief, remember? Okay, now, very briefly, because we already went over a lot of these things before. It says, by fire to the Lord, a burnt offering or a sacrifice to fulfill a vow or as a freewill offering or in your appointed feast to make a sweet aroma to the Lord, okay? Sweet smelling savor into your nostrils, as we say. Okay, from the herd or from the flock, then he who presents his offering to the Lord shall bring a grain offering of 1/10 of an ephah. It goes on and on and on with the offerings, which is all the way down to verse 10, okay? And I'm just paraphrasing because we're going to give you a little short chart after the fact, okay? So verse 11, Thus it shall be done for each young bull. We're still talking about the sacrifices. But the key to that is listing the animals to be sacrificed, the amount of flour and grain and things of that sort, okay? But verse 13 says, all who are native born shall do these things in this manner. So everything that was just given, all those details, if you were native born, you shall do them in that manner, in presenting an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Now, look at verse 14. And if a stranger dwells with you, or whoever is among you throughout your generations, so this is a standing principle, a command, and would present an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord, just as you do, comma, so shall he do. So look at verse 16. One law and one custom shall be for you and for the stranger who dwells with you. So all of those scriptures from 1 down to 16 means this. These are the offerings and sacrifices you are to make when you inhabit the land. Secondly, all that are native born, do what I have commanded you to do. Everyone that dwells with you must do the same. That's what all of those scriptures mean from 1 to 16. Okay? One law and one custom. God wants, if you take it upon yourself to live among the chosen people, you must do as I tell them to do. Amen? All those verses, that's what it's summed up as. Okay? Then it says in 17, again, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land to which I bring you, then it will be when you eat of the bread of the land and shall offer up a heave offering to the Lord, you shall offer up a cake offering of the first of your ground meal as a heave offering. It's listing the offerings, okay? And on the heave offering of the threshing floor, so shall you offer it up. The first fruits God wants is what he's saying. Offer up the first fruits, okay? Now, I just skimmed over that because here's a chart. You know, I like to give you guys charts so you can keep it straight in your mind, screenshot this, or print out the information that I sent you. It's the proportions of grain and oil offerings as well as the wine as listed as follows. And you will see in this little short chart, it shows the animal, the grain, the oil, and the wine, the lamb, the ram, the young bull, and it gives all of those specifications. So it wasn't a need for me to read every little detail because I know you guys are a little tired of hearing all the numbers by now, okay? So that's a nice little chart for you that lists everything in those chapters, in those verses, in very short form, okay? And it even gives you the specifications if you wanted to know what an ephah was or a hin, H-I-N. A hin is 1 gallon, okay? So a fourth or a quarter hin is 1 quart. So it gives you the measurements there. If you want to look at this chart and go back and read those verses, it will make sense to you then, okay? Amen? Amen. Now let's look at the second section where it says, laws concerning unintentional sin. Now, those of you guys with the notes, is I found it easier to put all of the scriptures on for you and then highlight what I'm going to pull out because that's how it's easier for me to discuss it. So make sure to print these pages. This is a nice reference for you because all the verses are listed. And most of the chapter I included, but I'm not going to read all of it. I highlighted the parts I want to bring out, okay? Verse 22, the laws concerning unintentional sin. Okay, that's our key word, unintentional, okay? Look at verse 22. If you sin unintentionally, okay, and you do not observe all these commandments which the Lord has spoken to Moses, all that the Lord has commanded you by the hand of Moses from the day the Lord gave commandment and onward throughout your generations. So what is he saying? From the day all the way back when I gave you the laws until today and onward throughout your generations. If you unintentionally do not observe, okay? Now look farther down in verse 24. That the whole congregation shall offer. Then it goes through the offering. One bull offering as a burnt offering, as a sweet aroma to the Lord. And for those of you guys that weren't on in the beginning, when you see that sweet aroma, when the offerings, especially burnt offerings, it gives off a smell, of course. You know, when you burn something by fire, and that is said to reach the nostrils of God, and it's a sweet aroma unto God. Just as we say, our lifting up our praise, our offering of praise is a sweet aroma to the nostrils of God, okay? It's the same principle. So it speaks of the burnt offering. It speaks of the grain offering and a drink offering. Make sure to read over that. And it speaks of a sin offering, okay? So if you unintentionally sin, what I want you to pull out of that is unintentional sin. The whole congregation shall offer. It lists the offerings. And then at 25, it says, so the priest shall make atonement. There we go. For who? Well, who gave the offering? The congregation did. So the priest shall make atonement for the whole congregation of the children of Israel. And it shall be forgiving them. What is it? The sin. For it was unintentional. What was it? The sin. So the sin shall be forgiven them, for the sin was unintentional. Okay? What is this? This is the grace. Okay? This is the grace of God. Now, what is the priest in 25 making an atonement? What is that? You already know because I say it every session. That is a picture of Christ Jesus making atonement for us, okay? They are given offerings. The priest is making atonement. The blood of Jesus was shed, made atonement for us, so our sins are forgiven, okay? It all makes sense if you keep it all together in your head, okay? So verse 26, it shall be forgiven the whole congregation of the children of Israel and the stranger who dwells among them, because all the people did it unintentionally. Okay? We're dealing with the nation. You sin unintentional, then you can be forgiven. Okay? You make an offering to the priest and you're forgiven. Just like we said before, if the strangers decided to dwell in the nation and live amongst the nation, they had to provide by the same laws, meaning they had to give the same sacrifices and offerings. If they did that, then their sins were forgiven as well if they followed the rules, okay? Here we go. Look down at chapter 29. You shall have one law for him who sins unintentionally, for him who is native born among the children of Israel, and for the stranger who dwells among them. Okay, re-enter. I said it one verse too early. Okay, but that's exactly what I just said. All right, amen. We good? Okay. Law concerning presumptuous sin. Okay, now we're on the flip side. Verse 30. Laws concerning presumptuous sin. But the person who does anything presumptuously, whether he is native born or a stranger, that one brings reproach on the Lord, and he shall be cut off from among his people. Why? Because, verse 31, he has despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandment. That person shall be not only cut off, it says completely cut off. His guilt shall be among him. Now, remember we discussed in the previous session that phrase cut off, depending on the context, can mean put out of the camp, It can mean put out of the nation and exiled, or it can mean killed, okay? Or put to death, all right? So you don't take it lightly when it says cut off. Now this says completely cut off, all right? God wants his commandments followed. That's why he says them over and over again to the people, over and over again. Now look at 32. If you have a study Bible, you see all these headings that I'm reading. If you don't have a study Bible, get you one. Okay, if you need a good one, let me know. I'll send you the information for one. Okay, verse 32, the grouping is penalty for violating the Sabbath. Penalty for violating the Sabbath. We know that God designated that the Sabbath is holy. The seventh day that was created was holy. Just as a side note, the Bible never said Sunday. It said seventh day. Okay, that's a tradition that you can research where that started, okay? But that's not the context that we're dealing with right now, okay? Now, while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day, on the holy day. It's just, it's better to just think about it as the holy day, the day of no work, the day of rest. That's the context that we're speaking of, not that it fell on a Sunday or it fell on a particular day. It's the day designated for the day of rest, okay? The commandment, the day of rest. Now, look at what these people did. And those who found him gathering, verse 33, gathering sticks, brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. They put him under guard because it had not been explained what should be done to him. They knew better than to touch him and to take the matter in their own hands. They knew that they had to take them to the priest, okay? So they were at least right about that. But all it says that he was doing was gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. The man could have needed to build a fire. We don't know. But that's all he was doing, okay? Then the Lord said to Moses, the man must surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp. So as the Lord commanded Moses, all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died. And he died, okay? So the only thing we know about the man is he was gathering sticks on the Sabbath day, okay? Now, the people, with all the misconduct that the Bible records they have done, they decided to point the finger at this one man, okay? Now, it did not say while they were in the promised land. I hope you caught that context. It says, 32, now while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, okay, were in the wilderness. They had disobeyed. Now, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. Wow, after all you've done. But the commandment had to be followed, guys. The Sabbath was holy, and we have to keep the holy Sabbath. God did not play with the children of Israel about his commandments. So Moses didn't speak. The Lord spoke to Moses and says, the man must surely be put to death. Because think about it. If the Lord would have gave the man a pass, the children of Israel who found the man would expect a pass on the Sabbath day as well. You follow me? That's what you got to keep in mind. And we can't say for sure. Let's put it like that. But it sounds like that this was a test that the children of Israel was trying to throw God's way. Okay? Look at this man gathering sticks on a Sabbath day. What are you going to do? If you let him slide, got to let us slide. Okay? So, but God wasn't having it. We don't know if it was a test because the Bible doesn't say so, but That's a way to think about it, okay? That's a way to think about it. So the man had to be stoned with stones from the congregation, and he died. Poor fellow, okay? Verse 37, your heading says tassels and garments. Tassels and garments, okay? 37, again, the Lord spoke to Moses. The Lord is speaking. Speak to the children of Israel. Tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations. You know, the first thing I thought about was the tassels on our, like, graduation caps. That's the first thing I thought about. But, okay, and to put a blue thread in the tassels on the corners, okay? And you shall have the tassel that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord. And not only remember them, and do them. And that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined, that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy for your God. Okay? So you can, the example of this, think about the tradition or the custom of people tying a thread around their finger to remember something. Okay? We used to do that when we were small. I haven't seen people do that in a very long time. But that's just like what they're speaking of, okay? Tie it around your finger to remember something. Well, this was to put it on the garment, the thread on the garment, to remember. Every time you look at it, it should be a remembrance of what I have told you, okay? Verse 41, I am the Lord your God. I am Yahweh, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord, Yahweh, the Most High. I am your God. That phrase, the Lord, is translated Yahweh. All praises to the Most High, Yah, hallelujah. Praise ye Yah, praise ye the Lord. Okay, same thing. So don't get confused when I say that. Yahweh is the Most High God, the Lord in Hebrew. Okay, all right. So he is telling them and reiterating to them, I am your God, not everybody else's. You are my nation. He's staking ownership. Amen? Okay. All right. Now we are at chapter 16, which you will see the heading is Rebellion Against Moses and Aaron. Rebellion against Moses and Aaron. So now we know what we have. Okay. Chapter 16, verse 1. Okay. Now Korah, to the son of Izhar and the son of Kohath, the son of Levi. Okay, stop right there. So Korah, K-O-R-A-H, is the descendant or in the family of Levi. It's the first thing you got to know. Okay. Okay, now after the comma, with Dathan, Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, O-N, the son of Peleth, the sons of Reuben. Stop right there. Reuben. So you got, and guys, forgive my pronunciation if I'm a little off, okay? I was born in Tennessee. I wasn't born in Israel, okay? So Dathan, Abiram, I'm sorry, I was born in Illinois. I just told the story. But anyway, Dathan, I grew up in Tennessee. Moving right along, Dathan, Abiram, and On, three names, sons of Reuben. So they're in the family of Reuben. So that's the four people to keep in mind. But it listed Korah, K-O-R-A-H, the son of Kohath of the Levi tribe, listed him first. And it says, with these three people. So what I need you to remember is that he was the leader. Korah was the leader. The other three came along, okay? Now, it says, took men, verse 2. So all those four people took men with them. So they influenced other men, okay? Verse 2. And they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel. Rose up means they challenged him, okay? Confronted him. You follow me? Okay, So with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation. Oh my God. These four people multiplied to 250. And not just any old 250, predominant 250 leaders. Okay? Representatives of the congregation, the scripture actually says men of renown. Men of renown. Meaning they should know better. They're the leaders. They should know better. Okay? I put you a note in there, guys, on your session pages, your note pages. Korah was the leader of the rebellion, okay? Because you might not have caught that when you read it. He was the leader of the rebellion, a Levite from the Kohathite tribe, or clan, should I say, which was a sub-clan of the Levite tribe. Remember? You remember I went through all of that. I went through the sons of Aaron, and I went through the different clans in the Levites. You did that in previous sessions, so refer back to that. Okay? If you remember, that section, that clan, was charged with keeping the tabernacle. This is who we're talking about. They was given that awesome responsibility. You remember, they were over the ark, the table, the lampstand, the altars, and so forth. But what are we discussing here? He wanted more power and more responsibility. What is it we used to say? If you give them an inch, they'll try to take a mile. Okay. He was given all these awesome responsibilities because he was a member of the tribe of Levi. You remember I told you the tribe of Levi was separated unto God for the work of the kingdom, but they were not all priests. They were all supporters, but not all priests. Okay? So he wanted more power, more responsibility. He was envy and jealous of Aaron, Moses and Aaron. Okay? So now another note I put in for you. Dathan, Abiram, and On was in the tribe of Reuben. Now, you've been with me long enough to know that that was Jacob's firstborn son. And the firstborn often carried on the religious traditions for the family in the Hebrew custom. So because these people, these three, were in the tribe of Reuben, they felt they should have more responsibilities because we carry on the religious customs and traditions for the family. The family meaning Jacob's family, which Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and where we have the 12 tribes of Israel, the Israelites. Okay? And I just restate things all the time, guys, so that people watching can catch on, okay, if they didn't get the previous session. So he's the firstborn. So they feel they're in Reuben's tribe, so they should have the authority that Moses and Aaron have. Okay? So hopefully that makes more sense to you now, why they did this. So, because I always want you to know the why we're reading this. You know, what's the purpose of what's happening, of what you are reading as it is, you know, taking action in front of your eyes as you're reading it, okay? Verse 3, they gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, listen to this, you take too much upon yourself, for all the congregation is holy, not just you. Every one of them and the Lord is among them. God is with us, all of us. So what makes you so special? You take among yourself too much responsibility, what they're saying. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? Okay, here's your notes. It's kind of true what they said. You know, every lie got a tad bit of truth. Makes it sound good to you, okay? God called Israel to be his holy nation. So when they said every one of them is holy, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, the Lord is among them. That's a true statement. There's no lie in that. That's a true statement. They mixed a little truth with a lie. Then they says, why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? Well, God ordained Moses and Aaron to exalted positions. They had not assigned themselves these roles. Both of them was reluctant to take the roles that God had ordained them to take. But God exalted them. But I hate to say it, but that's still happening today. If God exalts this person and not the other, then we see a lot of jealousy, okay? But the person, if the person does not exalt themselves and God exalts them and ordains them, then we should respect that and support them, amen? Amen. So verse number 4. So when Moses heard it, he fell on his face. Remember, I told you, anytime you see that, that means humility. That means he's humbling himself and he bowed down to who was in front of them. Okay, they rose up against him. He was scared they was going to kill him. Okay, so he humbled themselves in front of him long enough for God to step in. And he spoke to Korah and all his company saying, listen to this. I love this statement. Tomorrow morning, the Lord will show you who is his and who is holy and will cause him to come near to him. That whom he chooses, he will cause to come near him. Now, that's a beautiful statement right there. That is the most cockiest thing I have read in a while, okay? Moses told them to their faces, after he humbled himself, fell on his face to the ground. But let me tell you, Korah, tomorrow morning, the Lord will show you. I don't have to say a thing. Now, had the Lord spoke to Moses to tell Moses that he was going to show up the next morning? No, he did not. Did the Lord say to Moses, tell Korah that whoever I choose to come near to me, that's who I have called? No, he did not. Moses spoke on this as God was listening, and he spoke as an oracle of God and spoke as an exalted one, as a leader that God had ordained and exalted. He spoke on the behalf of God with confidence. And he did it ahead of time before God ever said anything. So Moses sets up the challenge ahead of time, which made it prophetic because it came to pass. Amen? I'm getting excited. Move right along. Verse 6, do this. Take censers, Korah, and all your company. Put fire in them. Now, remember a censer. You remember what I told you that was? It's like it's a long handle with like the bottom of a pot, like skillet, like that they put the coals in to carry the coals so it wouldn't burn their hands, okay? And burn the incense with it, okay? We went over that before. Put fire in them, put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord chooses is the holy one. So give an incense offering. And whoever the Lord chooses, then he's the holy one. You take too much upon yourselves, you sons of Levi, was their response. Okay. Verse 8. Then Moses said to Korah, hear now, you sons of Levi. Why? Because they're sons of Levi. They're in the Levitical tribe. They were in a subclan of the Levitical tribe. Okay. They just wanted more responsibility. Look at verse 9. Is it a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself? Meaning you don't even understand the importance that out of the 12 tribes, he brought our family to serve him personally in and around the tabernacle. That's what it means. Is it a small thing? Do you consider this so lowly, so unhonorable that you will challenge me instead of considering the responsibility that God has given you and given our family, okay? to bring you near to himself to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to serve them. Verse 10, and that he has brought you near to himself, you and all your brothers and the sons of Levi with you, the tribe, the whole tribe, is dedicated unto God for service. And you are seeking the priesthood also. I told you, all of them are servants, but they're not all priests, only the sons of Levi. So now, Moses is saying, so now you're seeking the priesthood as well. Therefore, you and all your company, verse 11, are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that you complain against him? Aaron did not exalt himself. God did. So I put a note in there for you. All the Levites were separated to the work of the Lord, but only Aaron and his sons were priests. I said that already. Korah and the Kohathites desired greater glory for themselves. Okay? All right, let's move a little bit. So then verse 12. Then Moses speaks to them again. And look at 13. Is it a small thing that you have brought us up out of the land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness? These people are saying, yeah, you're asking me, is it a small thing that I don't consider my calling, but is it a small thing that we was brought up here to be killed? They're not dependent on God. They're not believing he's going to do what he said he was going to do. That you should keep acting like a prince over us? Moreover, verse 14, you have not brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor given us an inheritance of the fields and vineyards that you promised us. Wow. You will put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up here. Because he called them unto himself. He said, we're not coming. They refused to admit that it was their rebellion that kept them out of the promised land. They did not want to admit that. The judgment of the wilderness is because of their disobedience. Amen? Verse 15, then Moses was angry, said to the Lord, do not respect their offering. Wow. He set up the challenge. He was speaking to the men himself. And then he spoke to the Lord and said, Lord, don't respect their offering. But look at what else he says. I've not taken one donkey from them, nor have I hurt one of them. I've taken no offering, no money. I've taken no goods, and I have not laid hands on any one of them. I've done nothing to them whatsoever. And then Moses said in 16, tomorrow you and all your company will be present before the Lord, you and they, as well as Aaron. Uh-oh, he's speaking with confidence. So here we go. They set up everything. I'll go ahead and read it. Verse 17, let each take his censer and put incense in it, right? I discussed that already. And bring his censer before the Lord, 250 of you, all these censers, bring them before the Lord, both you and Aaron, each with his censer as well. So every man came and laid incense on it and stood at the door of the tabernacle of meeting with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered the congregation against them at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. But then look at the end of verse 19. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the congregation. Won't God show up? Okay. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, the Lord is speaking. You might want to, let me just read it. Separate yourselves from among this congregation that I may consume them in an instant or in a moment. So who was he talking to? Moses and Aaron. Separate yourself from this 250 because I'm about to strike them dead where they stand. Look at verse 22. Then they fell on their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin and you be angry with all the congregation? So the Lord spoke to Moses saying, oh, let me back up. Who was speaking right there? Who fell on their faces? Verse 20 said, the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. So who was speaking back to God? Moses and Aaron. You can't tell me they're not good called leaders, good called men of God. 250 men is against them. They fell on their faces and pleaded with God not to kill the whole congregation. Did you get that in your reading? So the Lord spoke to Moses, said, speak to the congregation saying, get away from the tents. And he called them by name, the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Get away from there. Okay? Get away from there. Separate yourselves. Then Moses rose and went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spoke to the congregation saying, depart now from the tents of these wicked men. Touch nothing of theirs, lest you can be consumed in all their sins as well. Okay? And then, so they got away from around the 250, or the leaders got away from their tents, came out and stood at the door of their tents with their wives and their sons and their children. Okay? And Moses says, by this, you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not come to do them of my own free will. Okay? You shall know. This is a test. If these men die naturally, like all men, or if they are visited by a common fate, die naturally, of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. He put in parameters to the test. Verse 30. But if the Lord creates a new thing, my God, and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into a pit, then you will understand that these men have rejected the Lord. Wow. Verse 31, came to pass later that day, next month, next week. No. 31 says, it came to pass, comma, as he finished speaking all these words, that the ground split apart under them, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households and all the men with Korah, all the ones that followed him with all their goods. As soon as they finished speaking. So they and all those with them went down alive into the pit. The earth closed over them, and they perished from among the assembly. Wow. Wow. Then everybody else fled and says, the earth may swallow us up also. Verse 35, and the fire came out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering incense. So the leaders and their families and their goods were consumed in the earth, and everybody who followed them was consumed in the fire. Isn't it ironic that they had a offering of fire, of coals, of incense in their hands, and they was consumed with fire? Wow. Verse 36, and it says, look at something very interesting. The Lord spoke to Moses, says, tell Eleazar, you remember he was one of the leaders, he's the son of Aaron, the priest, go pick up all the censers out of the fire that just consumed them. Pick it up. Now, if this confuse you, listen to this. For they are holy, not the people, the censers that carried the coals and the burnt incense. They were giving offerings unto God. So the censers were holy. They had been dedicated previously unto God. Okay, each family had them. God says, my utensils are still holy. I've consumed them, the people. Bring me the censers. That's what he was saying. And scatter the fire some distance away. So all the coals and all that they had in it, throw that outside of the camp. But the sense, verse 38, the senses of these men who sin against their own souls, let them be made into hammered plates. Turn it into something usable. As a covering for the altar. So they were consumed by fire, purged in the fire. Now the censers are going to be made into hammered plates. And if you look down to verse 40, it says to be a memorial to the children of Israel, to remember this particular event. Okay? After all that happened, look at verse 41. You're not going to believe this, but it's right here in the Bible. Now it says that heading is complaints of the people. Complaints of the people. Verse 41. On the next day. Not next week. Not next month. The next day. On the next day, all the congregation of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, saying, "You have killed the people of the Lord." Now, did we not just go through that whole chapter with God setting up this act of power to show the people that he separated them, he called them, he brought them out, he did all of these things? Now they're saying they're complaining against Moses and Aaron on the next day. Not God, but Moses and Aaron. Not acknowledging the power of God that was just displayed. Okay? This is pitiful at this point. They are a stiff-necked people. And this is why you see what's going on in the world today. Oh, just wait till we get to the next book. Okay? This is why you see what we see in the world today. All of the disobedience that's in the Bible from the children of Israel. Okay? Now what happened when verse 42, when the congregation gathered against Moses and Aaron, that they turned towards the tabernacle of meeting, and suddenly God showed up. The cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. Wow. It says in 44, 45, get away from among this congregation that I may consume them in a moment. And it says, and they fell on their faces. God said, he didn't take any hesitation, any time. He heard the people complaining the next day. He showed up in an instance. He says, Moses and Aaron, step back. Get away from these people. I'm about to consume them in a moment. Moses and Aaron fell on their faces again, praying for the people. And so Moses, look at what he did. Said to Aaron, take your censer. His wasn't beaten down to a plate. Take your censer, put fire in it from the altar, put an offering of incense in it, and quickly, hurry up, quickly run into the congregation and make atonement for them. You are the high priest. So go make atonement. God will honor that. For wrath has gone out from the Lord and the plague has begun. When God spoke it, it was in existence already, okay? The plague had already begun, 47. Then Aaron took it as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the assembly to make an atonement for their sins, okay? And already, the scripture says, people were already dying. The plague had already begun among the people, instantaneously. So he put in the incense and made atonement to the Lord for the people. He was the high priest. That's what his calling was. And he stood between the dead and the living. He stood in intercession between God and the people. That is what Christ Jesus does for us, forever making intercession between us and the Father. He makes atonement for us. Always put the connection with Christ Jesus to what you are reading. Okay? So when he did this, the ending of 48, and he stood between the dead and the living, so the plague had stopped. As soon as God spoke it, the plague started. As soon as Aaron gave atonement, the plague stopped. As soon as Jesus Christ died on the cross for us and gave up the ghost, we were forgiven. 49. Now, those who died in the plague were how many, guys? 14,700. And it says, besides those who were killed in the Korah incident, the additional 250, plus the families of Korah and the leaders. That's a lot of people died by disobedience. So then Aaron returned to Moses at the door of the tabernacle of meeting, for the plague had stopped. Wow. The plague had stopped. Now, guys, we're not going to get to 18. Let's do 17. Give me a few minutes because we had to stop with a little technical difficulty. And 17 is pretty short, okay? 17 is short. It says the budding of Aaron's rod. And I want to get to this because I spoke of this before. So after Aaron stood in the midst of the people and stopped the plague to make atonement for their sins, the Lord spoke to Moses, chapter 17. Come with me, 17. Speak to the children of Israel, get from them a rod from each father's house. All their leaders, according to their father's houses, 12 rods, and write each man's name on his rod. Now, if the patriarch of the family had a rod, which they did, it was decorated with the emblems and the signets and everything from their family crest, like, okay? And it says to label those rods and bring them to me. And, verse 3, write Aaron's name on the rod of Levi, on the tribe of Levi, okay? For there shall be one rod for each head of the father's house. Bring me 12 from the 12 tribes. Then you shall place them in a tabernacle of meeting before the testimony where I meet with you. Place the rods there. And it shall be, verse 5, that the rod of the man whom I choose will blossom. The rod will blossom, the rod itself, not the man. The rod will blossom from one of the 12 tribes, but bring me all of them. And it says, thus I will rid myself of the complaints of the children of Israel, which they make against you. He had just showed them in chapter 16. He just showed them. And now, the very next day, they complained. So he has to now, this came directly from the mouth of God. This wasn't set up by man. This was God, okay? So now I have to show the remainder that I didn't just kill by the plague so that there's no doubt. I'm gonna show you who I have chosen. So Moses spoke to the children of Israel, and they each one of them gave a rod apiece for each leader of the 12 tribes. So then, verse 7, Moses placed the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. Okay? Moses took it, not Aaron, because Aaron has one of the rods, right? So he took the 12 from the 12 tribes, Moses handled them, and took them into the tabernacle of meeting, okay, of witness. Verse 8, came to pass on the next day, Moses went into the tabernacle, Moses did. Why? Because they would have said Aaron cheated. Okay? So Moses went in, and behold, the rod of Aaron from the house of Levi, the Levitical priest, had sprouted and put forth buds and produced blossoms and yielded ripe almonds. I put a note in there for you. The rod did four things. The rod sprouted, the rod budded, the rod produced blossoms, and it yielded ripe almonds. Not only did it bud, it did four separate things. Amen? And we could break down those four things if we had time to, okay? But just as a special note, the white blossoms of the budding almond tree were a symbol of holiness and purity that God expected from his faithful priestly servants. So it was a symbol of holiness and purity, okay? I always remember that. So moving right along, verse 9, so we can try to wrap up. We only have 13 verses. Then Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord to the children of Israel, and they looked, and each man took his rod back. And the Lord said to Moses, bring Aaron's rod back before the testimony. Did you catch this part? To be kept as a sign against the rebels, that you may put their complaints away from me, lest they die. Thus did Moses, just as the Lord commanded him, so he did. So remember, back when I was teaching upon the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, okay? And remember what we were discussing that was inside of the Ark. This is, I told you, remember, I will bring it to your remembrance later when it's listed in Scripture, okay? Says, bring Aaron's rod back before the testimony, the Ark of the Testimony, to be kept as a sign. So within the Ark, you have the golden pot that held the manna, okay? You got the tablets of the covenant, the Ten Commandments, those, the Mosaic Law, and now you have Aaron's rod that budded. So those three things are in the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Testimony. Amen? Amen. So we got through those chapters, and it's just 8:02. Amen. God bless, God bless. We would have got to the last chapter, but we had a little technical difficulty. So give us a little grace for that. Hey, we can't do anything about computers. We just have to roll with it. Okay, well, that concludes session 35.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.